A hacker group may or may not have stolen every American's social security number. What can you tell me about this?
Yeah, so what it looks like is, first, it's old information. It's not, I mean, I'm not saying that it's not pertinent. I'm not saying it's not important. But ultimately, the data that we're showing is not as fresh as, like, it just got hacked. So this could be, you know, months, maybe even years old. Again, there's still social security numbers in there. There's still sensitive data in there, so we want to be very cautious of that. What it looks like is, this looks to be where this is so huge. I've been using the analogy that this is like the $25 million painting that somebody steals and they can't sell on the black market because it's too valuable, right? And so 2.7 billion, roughly, pieces of personally identifiable information, that's heavy to move. So they're not having a lot of luck in trying to get it sold to anybody. These threat actors, what I'm seeing is about three different groups, and none of them's been really effective in it. So in the end, I think it's a matter of just having individual folks protect themselves and take certain precautions as we move forward.
Now, right now, do we have any type of leads as to, like, maybe who these groups are, or maybe, like, who they identify with?
Yeah, at this point, there's some, but there's none that are highly notable. First and foremost, they're not attributing this to any nation states. So what we're seeing is it is a couple of different underground, like theft, you know, cyber theft groups. None of any, you know, major note. They're not huge. They're not big. It's kind of more like small groups or individual actors. So not very common ones either. So nothing truly notable when it comes to the attribution side.
So it doesn't seem too realistic in this case to expect everybody to start changing their passwords or even freezing accounts. What would you recommend for people to look out for in the future, and maybe what they can do to better protect themselves?
Well, and I would say on the, you know, kind of thinking of the freezing of accounts, I say let's talk about the credit bureaus, right? What I've been recommending for folks is every credit bureau offers you the option to freeze your credit report. And basically it's the idea that you have control of that. You can log in and you can say, no, I don't want anybody to check my credit right now. And that's pretty effective. I think that's one where if you don't already have those logins and you don't already, you know, have an established accounts with the three credit bureaus, go ahead and do that. And then turn around and have your credit, freeze your credit report. Because that will keep any threat actors from, again, if we have social security numbers involved, particularly with names, you know, as well as like email addresses and other things, mailing addresses, the threat for fraud is pretty high. And so freezing those credit reports will keep people from trying to establish credit in your name if they go ahead and try to do that. So I think that's kind of the option number one. Option number two, what I tell folks is changing passwords doesn't have to be evil, right? I think we have the opportunity here. Let's talk about password managers, right? To be able to say there's these applications out there that allow you, because what we don't want is people to reuse passwords, right? That's been one of the biggest issues. The threat around that is people, these threat actors know that people reuse their passwords. Like I use the same password on my bank, on my email, on my, you know, X, Y, and Z. What they count on is when they breach one of those lower ones, now they have the password for that bank, right? And so we want different passwords for each one. And what using a password manager, what it allows you to do is you only have to remember one password. And this password manager, by the way they function, they will create those passwords for you and remember them for you. And all you have to do is remember that one. So that's the direction I would go with that as well.
All right. And is there anything else that you would like to add about this, either about cybersecurity or just personal information?
Yeah, on the cybersecurity side, I would say anywhere you have an opportunity, particularly when you're giving over your social security number or any other type of highly sensitive data, health data for sure, use multi-factor or two-factor authentication, right? Those are the same thing, but ultimately it's, I supply this password and this is the where it either texts you or it sends a message or a push to an app on your phone. Or it sends a push or to the biometrics on your phone, or you know, like where you log in with your face on your iPhone or your Android. use multi-factor authentication wherever you can, particularly around where those sensitive that sensitive data goes, because that's a great way to reduce this threat significantly, because now you're taking that out of the hands of the attacker and you're putting it in your own hands, and you can refuse them that access even if they have your password.